I'm so proud of Aaron. Aaron has something so encouraging. He's going to encourage us today. Father, we love you. We thank you for Aaron, Lord. Bless Aaron today. Lord, minister through this man of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's on. Okay, there we go. There we go. Come on. Well, as Pastor Lance said, first, if you can go ahead and turn into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. And while you do that, I just want to share a few things. The first thing I want to share is really what Pastor Lance said is so true, that we must make a commitment to reach the next generation. And then, as he talked about, it was at 18 years old that my life was radically changed on the college campus as a freshman in Austin Peay. And I can say now at 25, I'm still just as passionate as I was at 18 when I got saved. So your investment in the next generation is huge. And I also want to say thank you to those who donated, who bought donuts to allow our students to go on this summer camp. You guys, I just say two things. First thing is, you guys really love donuts. Like, and the reason I say that is because since we have started doing our Krispy Kreme fundraiser last summer, we've seen our scholarships double. And so thank you guys, first, for loving Krispy Kreme, but thank you guys for believing in the next generation. And because of you, we are seeing 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and sticking with it. And so thank you for making that investment. Amen? So the next thing is, if you are a parent, this Thursday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., we are going to be going to the City Forum that is on Exit 11, and you can sign up for your student to go, incoming 6th grade through incoming 12th grader. You can sign up after service at the table that we have outside. There's going to be go-karts, mini-golf, laser tag, opportunity for them to go to the arcade. So please get them there. It's $10, and we would love to have them. Amen? So as Pastor Lynn said, we are concluding our series today on the hard sayings of Jesus. And I hope this series has impacted your life as much as it has impacted mine. And today, the text that we're going to be talking about, really Jesus brings us into the picture of a man, we don't know his name, but they call him the rich young ruler. And what we could infer from the text is that this is probably a religious leader that has a lot of wealth and status. And so today, as we look at this text, what you're going to see is that at the beginning of the text, Jesus, this young man comes to Jesus thinking that he can get to heaven on his good deeds. But then Jesus begins to go through this moral list of, okay, you know, you say you're not killing anybody. How are you doing with that? You say that you never done this and you that. And the young man says, you know what? I haven't. But Jesus says, there's one thing you still lack. Sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And then this is where we pick up on a hard saying today. And so if you would read with me, starting at verse 23, Jesus says this. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and this is a hard saying, than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you, God, that your grace is over us and that you guide us and lead us. And I pray today that our hearts would be open to receive what it is you would want to say. I pray that you would use me, that I would speak clearly, that I would communicate a word that you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was thinking about this message, my wife and I began to laugh as we remembered a story from our high school time in Nashville. And so our senior year of high school, we were taking a physics class. And so we had left a little bit to go on a senior trip. And when we got back, our physics teacher says, I hope you guys are prepared to take this final exam. And so it was 5 seniors in this class, me and my wife and 3 of our friends. And none of us were, we were barely passing this class. And so we realized, look, we're not going to pass this class. Like, if we don't pass this class, we don't graduate. But at the same time, we're not going to pass the class. We're not going to pass this test. And so we had a dilemma. Take the test and fail and don't pass, or try to find some way to get out of taking this test so we could graduate our senior year of high school. And you could probably guess what we did. We found a way to get out of taking this test. And so when we walk out of class, my wife, Jasmine, she says, guys, I think I have an idea. Y'all remember at the beginning of the semester when the teacher said that his favorite thing was oatmeal cookies? And so she says, so I'm going to go to the store tonight. I'm going to go to Publix. And if we're going to do this right, you have to go to Publix, right? For all people who like Publix. If you're going to sweet talk somebody with anything, it has to come from Publix. And so she goes to Publix and buys the cookies in a cart. We all sign the card. And then they send me and her and I, into his room to sweet talk him into taking this exam. And so we give him the oatmeal cookies and we give him the card. And as he reads the card and he opens the oatmeal cookies, he laughs. And he looks at us and he says, guys, it's been a pleasure having you all this semester. And I hope the rest of your life goes well. Welcome to graduation. And we're like, what? I think it was the Publix. I'm pretty sure it was the Publix cookies. And so we're like, okay, yeah, okay, great. So we walk out. We're not like, look, we're not going to give him time to change his mind. And so we tell our friends, and we all kind of hit this Breakfast Club move. And we're like, man, we're this is over. We're done with high school. And still to this day, I'm trying to figure out, how did we get out of taking the test to pass senior year of high school through oatmeal cookies? How? But as we thought about that story and we laughed, I realized something. The problem was never addressed. Because I'm still terrible at physics. But when I thought about that, I realized that oftentimes we bring this same attitude into our relationship with God. What I mean is that we have this attitude, if I can just somehow do good things or live this morally excellent life, then maybe God will give me a free pass with him. And this was the issue with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler had come to Jesus thinking that somehow his morally excellent life could get him into heaven. And we do this today. We come to church with these I'm a good person mentality. Oh, I've never killed anybody. You know, I'm faithful. You know, I give. I come to church. I go to a small group. And we think somehow these external things will get us a free pass with God. I'm a good husband. You know, I'm a good wife. I do the dishes for my wife. You know, teenagers, I'm cleaning up for my parents. I'm doing my homework. I'm not getting in trouble. And we think that somehow moral excellence or making this good person list can give us a free pass with God. But here's the issue. Jesus didn't come to hand out Boy Scout badges for good behavior and moral excellence. Jesus didn't come to pat us on the back for being good people. Jesus came to talk about that which we don't want to talk about, the hard things, or should I say heart things. Jesus came to talk about the areas of our life where we would want to keep hidden. And this was the issue with the rich young ruler. Jesus asked this man to give up his wealth. Now, here's what we must understand. Jesus doesn't ask every rich person in the Bible to give up wealth. But the reason why he does with this man is because wealth is this man's security. His wealth and his status bring him meaning and purpose in life. What is it today that brings you meaning and purpose in life? And when Jesus tries to bring up these areas, and if you're like me, in your prayer time, you try to change the subject. We try to act like we don't know what Jesus is saying. Jesus, I really don't understand the question. What are you saying? when he begins to talk to us about areas of giving or how we can find our identity in a ranking or how we can find our identity in an emergency fund, when Jesus begins to talk about these areas of our life, we want to shut them off. We stop praying. We stop coming around. We stop allowing God to begin to speak into our life and begin to allow others to speak into our life. And what we also do is we begin to treat Jesus like he's just an acquaintance. When Jesus begins to bring up relationships that we find security in that we may not should be in, we begin to say, you know what, Jesus, you really don't have that kind of area in my life to speak on those things. You don't have that authority in my life to kind of address these areas that I don't want to talk about. We begin to treat Jesus like he didn't create us. We begin to treat Jesus like he's just somebody we can unfollow on a social media page. You can't run away from Jesus. And you can't run away from your problems. And the reason why we would try to run away from the problems is because we don't want to run the risk of detaching ourselves from that which we find security in. Money, a relationship, job status, how we are as parents, how we are as a spouse. We find our identity in these things and don't even realize it. But here's the issue with this. You will only go as far as that which you find security in takes you. Which leads us to our main point for today. The foundation of your security will determine your destiny. What does that mean? It means this. That if you find your security in an emergency fund, the moment it gets low, your mood starts changing. If you find your security in a relationship and the relationship begins to fall apart, you come to this idea that, man, my life is over and I'm falling apart. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen in my family where people begin to lose jobs and lose things and their mood begins to change. They start acting differently. Or how we begin to think that we can do it all on our own. And I want to say this. You will find out very quickly what you find your security in with that which you find security in is taken from you. The moment your emergency fund is gone, you will find out if you find your security in your emergency fund and not God. Now, this is what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is that it doesn't hurt us. Those moments, yes, it does hurt us. But if it causes your mood to change, if it causes you to start doing things, making decisions that are irrational, then I would say that Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life. If a relationship, if the ending of a relationship determines your future, then Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life. Do those things hurt when we lose them? Absolutely. But can we keep going? Absolutely. And if you're here today and you've experienced these things, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can make you whole. And regardless of whatever you've lost in life, Jesus Christ can make you whole. And let me say this. Let me take it a step further. Back in October, I lost my mom to cancer. I found very quickly what I put my foundation in when she died. And it was family members all around me saying things like, I don't know how I'm going to survive without her. My life is over. I can't do this. I want to die. I looked at them. I said, guys, this hurts, and I hate it just as much as you do. But Jesus Christ is going to get us through this. Did I have days where I wept the whole day? Absolutely. Did I have days where I didn't want to talk to people and I just wanted to stay in bed and cry? Absolutely. But I talked about it. I begin to read the scriptures where it talks about how Jesus comforts us in our worst moments. But I begin to yearn even greater for the day when my Savior returns for me. I begin to cry out for God to return in a greater way and for his kingdom to be advanced in my life in a greater way. When something precious is taken away from you, you begin to find out where your foundation is built on. Because the foundation of your security will determine your destiny. And here's the thing. When you find your security in anything else besides Jesus, you become blind. And you don't even realize you're going down this path, but this is what happens. That which you find security in that is not Jesus, it is like you're tied to a rock and you're sinking at the bottom of an ocean with no way of life. And you don't even realize it. Before I got saved at 18, I didn't even realize I was so far gone from God. Because I was so deceived into thinking that I had it all together. I had everything I needed. And quickly did I find out in a meeting like this on the college campus at Austin Peay that Jesus Christ was not the Lord of my life. But pornography was. Insecurity was. Selfishness was. Control was. These things were all the Lord of my life. And when we put ourselves in, when we put security in anything else but Jesus, nothing good ever comes out of it. But here's the scary part. It's like I said before, we don't even realize it. Security blinds us to think that we are self-sufficient and no need of God. Oh, Jesus, I'm good. My marriage is going great. My kids are doing good. I'm great. I'm being a good dad. I'm being a good husband. I'm being a good wife. You know what? I've went to that Dave Ramsey class. I've got my emergency fund at $18,000 a month. I'm good. I got my emergency fund, Jesus. I don't need you. Dave Ramsey got me covered. And I say that because that's my struggle. Because at a young age, I was taught the principle of saving. And very quickly, I found that my mood would change, even as a college student, when I begin to spend money. I began to find my identity, how much money I could save. I became controlling because of it. What controls you and what changes your mood? Sad reality is that we are so far away from Jesus and we don't even know it because false security blinds us. False security pulls us so far away. It's like we're mesmerized and have no opportunity to even turn to God. We're so fixed on this one thing, it's like, oh, I gotta have it. It's like the Krispy Kreme sign when the hot sign is on. You just mesmerize and you can't focus on anything else. You're running into people trying to get a Krispy Kreme donut. It mesmerizes us. False security mesmerizes us to think that we can do it on our own. And this is where our hard saying comes into play at. In verse 24, Jesus says this, "And again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So what would happen is that many teachers thought that, had this idea that in Jesus' time, there was this hole that they would call a needle for camels to go through in the side of a city wall. But there are no records that ever indicated that this hole existed. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that it is more possible for something non-existent to happen than it is for us to come close to God. Because we are so mesmerized by security, because we are so mesmerized by something else other than God, that it is more likely that something that doesn't even exist would happen before it is that we turn to Jesus. What does that say? Even if you tried on your own, you couldn't do it. I couldn't. We can try to be great people. We can try to be friendly and just say love everybody. But it doesn't address the heart issues. It doesn't address that place which we want to keep hidden. That place that Jesus' light needs to shine and be the Lord and Savior of our life. It never addresses that. Moral character, good behavior, doesn't address the sin nature that has affected this world. And it starts in our hearts. Security has such a huge grip on us. We are so blinded by the fact that Jesus is not Lord. And for those, I want to take this a step further. For those of us in here who might think, still have this idea that, you know, he ain't talking to me. I'm good. You know, Dave Ramsey, you know. I want to say this. In verse 25, Jesus says this. It says this. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? And the reason why the disciples were astonished was because in this day and time, wealth was equated with God's favor and blessing. Which it should be. Yes, it is. But here's my point. You can experience the benefits of God's goodness and still be so far from God. You can experience a great marriage. You can experience a healthy emergency fund. You can experience awesome kids. You can be the dad or mom of the year and still be far from God. You can have such a secure job and still be far from God. You can experience job promotion, a ranking. You can experience all the good things and still not be close to God. And it's scary. Because we can come here and think, you know, I'm giving, you know, 10% or whatever. You know, I'm coming to church. I'm at the men's group. I'm at the women's group. And just think we can go about life and we're good. But if there's never been a moment in your life where you said, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life, then you are not good. And you need help just like I did. And it's scary. I can remember thinking all the way up until I was 18 that I had everything together. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I remember in youth group, they would ask us that question. Do you think you go to heaven? Yeah, I'm a good person. I'm doing my homework. I'm taking out the trash from my mom. But there were secrets in my life. I was so addicted to pornography. I was so insecure. But I was so lured by my ability to be a good person that I didn't even realize that I was without God. And it was when I came to Austin Peay and sat in a meeting at Every Nation campus that I realized that, Jesus, you are not the Lord of my life. Everything else was. Who is Lord today? Who controls your life? Who controls your attitude? Who do you cry out for when everything is going wrong? Do you cry out for a relationship? Do you cry out for money? Or do you cry out for your Lord and Savior who can make you whole? There's good news to all this. In verse 26, Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What's impossible for us to do on our own, what we are not even able to do if we tried, is completely possible with God. And what's amazing is that God has made it possible for him to be Lord of our life by coming to earth in his son Jesus. What we can't do, he can. And what's interesting is that the rich young ruler is standing right in the front of the person that can make him whole, and he misses it because he's so lured by false security. Don't miss Jesus today. Don't miss him. Jesus Christ is your Lord, not money. Jesus Christ is your Lord, not a relationship. Jesus Christ is your Lord, not control. Jesus Christ is your Lord. Jesus Christ didn't just save you, but he controls your life. He dictates what happens, not finances. Nobody dictates what happens in your life like Jesus does, because he created you and he's the only one that has control over you. We break that lie that money controls your life. We break that lie that relationship controls your life. We break it. Jesus wants to deal with the area of your life that you have kept hidden for many of you years. And today we want to deal with it. Because if you don't, you will walk out that door and still be lost. I want to share something else with you before we close. As this text goes on, the disciples ask Jesus, and I love this because Peter's kind of prophesied, you know, Jesus, we left everything for you. What do we get? And Jesus gladly says this, and everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold. And he will inherit eternal life. Kingdom vision brings kingdom reward. When Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, I just want to explain this real quick. When Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, your perspective changes. And what you begin to realize is that everything that I found my security in was only an avenue for the gospel to be advanced. My emergency fund, my money is only there for the gospel to be advanced. And let me tell you how. A campus minister was fully funded, came on my campus, preached Jesus to me, and my life was saved because somebody gave. Your marriage is not your place of security. Your marriage is to be used as an avenue to people to see that Jesus Christ is real. Your job is not your place of security, but your job is your platform to be able to preach the gospel and share it with people who are lost and without God. Everything that you find security in was meant to be an avenue for God's kingdom to be displayed and for it to be advanced. We want to see kingdom. We want to see God's kingdom come to earth. God's kingdom is already here. And it can be displayed through your wealth. It can be displayed through your relationships. It can be displayed through the way, yes, through the way that you treat your spouse. Because people are watching you. But none of that happens until your vision and your focus has changed. And you begin to say, my reward is in heaven. So everything I have now, I'm going to fully use it for God's mission and vision to be on the go. But you have to make a decision today. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, if something else is, today is the day where that switches. And it's so simple. If you believe and you confess with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is present here. Amen. Let's pray.